Our reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, right through to 3:13. One in Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens, with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery, made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, and it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery it is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs, together with Israel, members together of one body, and share together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, for which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. May God speak to us through the reading of his word this morning.
I want you to understand how important we are. I don't mean how important you are individually. You are important, no less important or more important than anybody else. But I want us to understand why we, the church, are important. It says in today's Bible reading that we are being built into a holy temple, a place where he lives. And that's all about the Holy Spirit coming and living inside us and replacing what other spirits may have been there. God writes to these people and he's saying to them, you matter. Now, Paul was writing to a church that may not have looked as if they mattered very much. They were a small group of people in quite a big city, in quite a big empire, a very big empire. Some of them were children, some of them were women, some of them were slaves. The point of that is that in that culture, these people had little value or little honour. And yet Paul is wanting them to raise up their eyes to God and to see the important place that they have in God's plan. And Paul himself might not have looked very important. I mean, he's gone there, he knows about this church, and he hears good things are happening about it, but he's now in prison. Why should people listen to Paul when he seems to be failing in what he does? And his response to that is to say, well, I haven't failed at all. Take a look at you. What you are doing is bringing great glory to God. So the church's role, according to our Bible reading today, is to display the wisdom of God. What we are shows people what God is like. It shows what God is doing in the world. Now, wow, this is crazy. This is one huge responsibility. How do we do this? Well, the answer is that with God's help, we can. And you know, what started with the resurrection of Jesus continues in what happens in the church. God has eternal purposes. And we can show the world the wisdom of God by the things that we do. Now, we're coming back to Ephesians today after a little while off, but I hope you remember, if you were listening before, that the main theme of this letter is unity, that God raised Jesus from the dead to unite everything. There is meant to be no division in the world. So Paul in our Bible reading today is stressing that the divisions that there could have been within this church are broken down. And the one that he highlights, as he often highlights, because it was the one that affected him so much, was the barrier between Jew and Gentile. This was a man who'd been brought up being told, don't go into the house of a Gentile, don't eat with them, and now he's doing it, and he's finding that he is one with them, and he's got the Spirit of God, and they've got the Spirit of God, and they've been brought to unity. So what Paul is saying to them is, look, the world can look at you. He can see that they can see the unity that you have across the social boundaries, and in that they can see the work of God. They can see what God is doing. So Paul says, you know, they used to be as if it were two humanities, two groups of people, but now where you are, there is only one. You're fellow citizens together. You are members of one body. And he carries on stressing that in chapter 4. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Hallelujah. Fantastic words that are there. It's the church's job to display this unity. It's the church's job to show what Paul calls the boundless riches of Christ. Now, who are we showing this to? Well, to the world, but also, Paul says in our Bible reading today, to the spiritual powers. That's another theme that goes all the way through the letter to the Ephesians. When God raised Jesus from the dead, it wasn't just to be Lord of the earth. He was put over every spiritual power that there is. And Paul says that God has blessed us in the spiritual places. So we have an important spiritual role to fulfill. There's lots of stuff going on spiritually. And, you know, sometimes as Christians, we don't always get this. But all these spiritual powers, all these spiritual forces that are around are meant to be looking at the church and seeing how the church is united and how through that they are learning what God is doing, whether they're for it or they are against it. They see a group of people who are able to approach God with a whole load of confidence. We come to God in prayer knowing that he loves us and he loves each one of us, and what we're doing matters so much. Now, this is a tall order and a high standard. We haven't just become believers so that we individually can benefit from God. We've come to be believers to demonstrate something. And therefore, what we do as a church is really important. Now, like Squeak in her little puppet illustration, we often have to put our hands up and say, we have not done well at this. We have let there be divisions in the church. We've had division between men and women. We've had division between races. We've had division between ages, we've had division between people of different sexual orientation, we've had all sorts of divisions. But we can come to God and say, Lord, please teach us. Please show us the way of Christ today. And we sing hymns. You know, why do we sing hymns? Well, according to the scripture we started out with this morning, one of the points is that they put us in a place where God's Spirit can get hold of us and God's Spirit can change us. So how do we go about doing this demonstration of everything that God wants to do? Well, that's what the second half of the letter to the Ephesians is about, and that's what we're going to be looking at in the weeks that follow. We start off next week by saying, well, number one, pray. And God, Paul prays for these people utterly to grasp the love of Christ, that they will be so full of the love of Christ, that they will be a community that reflects the love of Christ. And then there's a whole load of practical stuff, practical behavior. He looks at areas in their culture where there was division and tells them how to behave, or at least gives them ideas of how to behave, so that that dividing wall will be, in practice, taken down. Called to love one another, called to accept one another. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know how important the church is. I want you to understand better what its task is. And maybe today, for some of us, it's about just making a move that's about saying, I want to show something of the love of God to somebody today. I want to do something today that will help to break down a barrier. And perhaps read chapters 4, 5, and 6 first to get an idea of how you might go about that, because if we rush in too quickly, we may get it wrong. But today, may we hold our heads up high. We are here, and we are here for a purpose.